Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
In non-COVID years is the Bills color guy with Murph in the play-by-play booth on the Buffalo Bills radio network. So Eric Wood will join us at 10:30. Mike Giardi, or Michael Giardi, I should say, of NFL Network. He's been covering the Bills the last 2 weeks in the playoffs for NFL Network, so we'll bring him in. That's at the 11 o'clock hour to talk about the matchup, talk a little bit about the Bills and the Chiefs. 11:30, we've got ESPN anchor and Bills superfan Kevin Connors. He's going to join us at 11:30 before he's got some afternoon basketball to cover over at ESPN. And then at noon, another ESPN and a favorite of mine, Marcel Louis-Jacques. He's the Bills beat reporter for ESPN NFL Nation. He'll join us at noon for your lunchtime. And then Breland Moore, one of my favorites and former Western New Yorker. She covered sports in Rochester over the last couple of years, and then last year made a move to Kansas City to cover the Chiefs and Kansas City sports for KCTV5. So she's going to join us at 12:30. She was part of the Super Bowl run her first year in Kansas City last year. Fitting that in the second season of her in Kansas City, she'll be covering the team that she formerly covered while she was here in Buffalo. So we'll talk to Breland at 12:30. And then the one I think all of us are probably waiting for, I know I am, at 1 p.m., Brian Baldinger of NFL Network and Fox Sports, Baldy Breakdowns on Twitter. He joins us at 1 p.m. We're going to talk a lot about Buffalo. We're going to talk a lot about Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs and Matt Milano. So stick around this afternoon. And of course, if you miss any of these, and before I even tell you that, 1:30 as well, Ty Dunn of the Go Long. He's got a great subscription to what I think is right now some of the best pieces that you can find from an independent writer. So Ty Dunn is going to join us at 1:30. He came out with a piece this morning, and he posted it yesterday but retweeted it this morning about Isaiah McKenzie. Did a feature on him, the Bills' secret weapon. So we'll talk to Ty Dunn at 1:30. So just a reminder, if you miss any of these guests today and into the afternoon, and that includes whoever the DiBiase brothers have at 2 p.m., of course, you can visit us at WGR550.com and on-demand audio and check us out there. I do want to quickly move over here and grab my mouse so that I can grab a phone call, because we've got Walter in Toronto who's hanging out on hold. And Walter, I'll start the show this morning with you. Happy Saturday to you. And what are your thoughts for tomorrow's game?
Thanks, Nate. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
Just, I think, talking to my buddies on our hockey team, the Manthers, our general idea is I think the Bills have to put a lot of pressure on Mahomes. If I'm not mistaken, I don't think they blitzed him once in that regular season game, and I understand the game plan then, but I think the game plan now has to definitely put pressure on him. We'll see where that toe takes him, and we'll see how mobile he is. I know that is a little bit of a risky proposition, but I think that was successful against Jackson, and that has to happen with Mahomes. And as far as the offense, I think we just got to put the gas pedal right down and keep it down all game. Just air it out, and last possession wins the game.
Yeah.
Wondering what your thoughts on that.
Yeah, Walter. Well, first and foremost, I've got to acknowledge your hockey team name, the Manthers, is very good, and thank you for sharing your team name with
us.
That's
correct.
So I appreciate that. And secondly, to your point about Mahomes and getting pressure, yes. In short, the answer. I think getting pressure on Patrick Mahomes, particularly when you can rush four, is really where you want to be. But I don't think, Walter, to your point, in the first matchup, no. The Bills did not blitz Patrick Mahomes. And the Bills were one of the top, I think they were the fifth most blitz-happy teams defensively in the league. So this is not a defense that likes to sit back on its heels and let the offense dictate the pace yet. That was really their game plan going into that Week 6 matchup against the Kansas City Chiefs the first time around in their 26-17 victory. And if you are a Bills fan that says, maybe we look back at that game and say, well, the Bills held the Kansas City Chiefs to 26 points, I would consider that a win. We need your offense to play better, and we need the offense to do more. And I think I probably sit in that group as well. In that game in Week 6, Josh Allen starts that game 3 of 11. He's got 78 yards going into the second last drive of the game. So here's the thing, and Walter, your point about trying to pressure Mahomes, forcing him to become mobile, we don't exactly know. Now the story this week has all been the lead up of the concussion and concussion protocol, and was Patrick Mahomes going to clear concussion protocol in time to play and start against the Bills in the AFC Championship game? If you thought otherwise, if you thought he wasn't going to play, I don't know what to tell you. He was going to play from the second the last whistle blew in the Cleveland Browns game. Patrick Mahomes was getting himself ready for Sunday.
If you watch any like on-field footage of him during a game, he's a maniac.
Yeah.
Like, he's extremely hyped up. He's always in his teammates' faces. He's extremely positive. He's always amped up for a game. Like, he's a wild competitor.
Wild competitor. The one thing, too, I noticed from the game last week, and Eric Turner and I were watching this, and Eric Turner and I, we determined that, of course, the concussion, whether or not it's actually a concussion or was a concussion, I don't know. Walter's point about making him move spoke to me from some of the things that you watched in that game prior to halftime, and then obviously he gets hurt soon after coming out of the tunnel at halftime. But one of the things you noticed in the first half was there was a play and they showed it, but you couldn't quite see what he did. You don't know if it's his toe or if it's his foot, but he hurts his left foot. And there was a couple of plays where he's scrambling. He scrambles. He's definitely not running full speed. You can see that he's laboring and he's not putting all of his weight on that left foot. He gets tackled or he slides. And when he's getting up, he doesn't put any weight. He actually awkwardly props himself up in order to not put weight on that foot to get himself up. The natural thing he would have done was to put his foot down, use his left foot to get himself up like he probably does every single time that he's ever done that without thinking. But the fact that he's thinking about it, the fact that he's awkwardly trying to get himself off the ground without potentially hurting or placing extra weight on that foot, I'm intrigued. I'm interested. And in that game, he goes to the locker room where he likely gets some sort of injection. He comes back out and you don't really see the same laboring on that foot. If he doesn't get an injection, maybe it's, the adrenaline. I don't know. But what I'm saying is, I'd like to know just how much that foot is bothering Patrick Mahomes. And I think, to Walter's point, the best way to do that is to get him under pressure and get him under pressure early in this game. Force him to move to his right. That's right. To his right. Patrick Mahomes. Now, here's what we know about both quarterbacks, right? We know that Josh Allen, when he escapes the pocket, and people talk about this, and I don't think there's two quarterbacks that do this better. But you hear the term, playing off schedule or playing outside the scope of the offense, or, being able to on the fly, or a lot of people refer to it as scramble rules. But these two quarterbacks do it better than anyone in football. And Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen also couldn't do it any more differently. Patrick Mahomes loves to roll out to open the middle of the field for throws across his body. Now, Josh Allen doesn't just never pull those out. But when Josh Allen moves to the right or to the left, he's looking to use an extra offensive player. And what I mean by that is Josh Allen has successfully created a 12th man of sorts on the offense. How? The sideline. His sideline throws essentially create a block or a blockage to the defensive player to get the football. So Josh Allen throws the football on the sideline. He's got three receivers, four if you want to count Cole Beasley, that are absolute wizards on the sidelines. I'm particularly thinking of John Brown and Gabriel Davis when I'm saying this, but those two guys, when they get to the sidelines in scramble rules, it is really hard to defend. But Josh isn't the kind of guy that's beating defenses by rolling out and a lot of times throwing across his body back to the middle of the field, because more or less the Bills' scramble rules are get to the sidelines. Those are traditional scramble rules.
It really does show the growth of Allen to be able to hit those throws with accuracy, because those are not easy throws to make. You have a very small window to allow your wide receiver to make that catch, and Diggs has made them too, like everybody
certainly
does. And the reason everybody can is because Allen can deliver the ball precisely to make those throws work. So that feels more like choice.
Yeah.
Like, it's not necessarily that Allen can't do it. It's that the Bills have decided this is our best way to do that.
Yeah, and I think more or less it speaks to hit the level of accuracy that Josh Allen plays with on those sideline throws, where you're creating a weapon and you're creating leverage against the defense. And any time that you can use the field of play to your advantage, I don't think teams use it enough. We talk about back shoulder throws. You know, I've talked about ad nauseum. I don't think we've watched this offense really utilize very much of the back shoulder throw, because they use the sidelines in the same way that you would use the sideline on a back shoulder throw as that sort of addition. I don't want to call it additional offensive player as much as I want to say, you know, it's a tool that you can use against the primary defender that puts him in a very difficult or almost impossible spot to defend.
Because generally speaking, the defender will take that. Like, go ahead, go out of bounds. I'm trying to keep you from going into the end
zone. I don't want you to go to the middle of the field. And that's what makes what Patrick Mahomes and this Chiefs offense, what they do in scramble rules, so unique. But they also have a very unique weapon that exists almost solely in the middle of the field. That's Travis Kelce.
That's
the Bills
right.
don't have a Travis Kelce. So when you have a player like Travis Kelce and you have a quarterback with the arm strength and athleticism and ability to throw on the run like Patrick Mahomes, the middle of the field becomes a real weapon, and especially against zone coverage. You'll notice this. Go back and watch any of the replays of these Kansas City Chiefs games, and the one thing you're going to constantly notice is when he rolls out to his right or his left and he's throwing back to the middle of the field, he's targeting Travis Kelce, and more times than not, Travis Kelce is wide freaking open. And why is that? Like, why is he always open? And less of it has to do with, like, you know, pure route running or creating separation at the line of scrimmage, or, you know, not being able to find a player profile or a type of player that can have success against the style of player that Travis Kelce. It's not about that. What Kelce does really well is he finds spaces in zone coverage, and he knows where to go in a cover four. He knows where to go if you're running Tampa 2. He knows where to go if you're in cover 3. So if you're going to run those looks against the Chiefs, and you allow Patrick Mahomes to break contain and allow him to get off script and off schedule, he's going to beat the ever-loving piss out of your zone defense. And he does it time and time again, and he'll do it this week if the Bills cannot hem or at least attempt to keep Patrick Mahomes inside the pocket. And I know that sounds crazy because he's the best quarterback in the league. Nate, you're telling me that you want to keep Patrick Mahomes in the pocket? Yes. Because what keeping him in the pocket ultimately can do is it can keep the integrity of your zones. When you start moving Patrick Mahomes out of the pocket and your stopwatch gets past 3 seconds, 4 seconds, 5 seconds, and when he holds on to that ball, the longer and longer he holds on to it, the more he can move, the more opportunity Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins, Mecole Hardman, these are lots of weapons that I just, but the point of my rant here is ultimately the zone. You lose the integrity of your zone when Patrick Mahomes can extend plays. Your guys that, let's talk about Tremaine Edmonds, right? Tremaine Edmonds is the largest, single largest middle linebacker in all of football in terms of height. And he has an advantage over smaller middle linebackers getting back to zones quicker than maybe because of his length and his arm length. He's able to sort of get in those passing lanes maybe a half step or full step quicker than some other, you know, middle linebackers in football. With that said, this is why play action is so lethal for them. Because play action combined with, you know, the ability to break, contain, and get off script, that becomes very, very difficult for defenses to defend. And the reason is, in zone coverage, you are responsible for an area. And when you're responsible for an area and not a player, it becomes very difficult to maintain that responsibility in a zone when 3 or 4 seconds has passed by and you feel helpless because there's nobody around you. So what you start to do is you start to leave your zone. You start to try to find the nearest guy because guys are running open. So it's very important, in my opinion, in this game, the thing that you have to consider as a Bills defense is how in the hell do you keep Patrick Mahomes from extending plays, getting these plays off script, and moving outside of the pocket and to his left. He is lethal. He wants to go to his left. He's not like Josh Allen. Allen loves to get to his right, and he's almost unstoppable when he gets outside the pocket throwing to his right. For me, it's Patrick Mahomes to his left. That's really the concern for me this week, is how do you contain Patrick Mahomes, and how do you force him to make throws from the right rather from the left? So those are a couple of things that I'm looking for this week against Patrick Mahomes. Walter, thanks for the call, man. You kind of sparked a great conversation there about this game and in particular about this matchup. And, you know, listen, I know we'll talk about this till we're blue in the face, but, you know, not having Matt Milano in that Week 6 matchup, I suspect this is a very, very different game plan. And maybe I'll be wrong. And maybe the Bills, even with a healthy Matt Milano, a healthy Levi Wallace, the full complement of defensive linemen at their disposal, a fully healthy and a really good playing Tre'Davious White right now, and I think the best safety tandem in the league, you know, I think the confidence also has to be talked about. Their performance last week against the Baltimore Ravens gave this defense the type of confidence I think they need, that they absolutely needed to have going into this game. Because I don't think they can go into this Kansas City Chiefs game with the same mindset they went into that Week 6 game. They will lose. And, you know, the other thing that I think about in this game is, and this is, and I said this on the Kansas City radio station last night, the really cool thing about this matchup, and I mean this, this isn't me, you know, yes, I know I work for the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. I know we're the radio home of the Buffalo Bills. This is not me talking like a fan or to a fan or telling you what you want to hear. This is a super good, unbelievably super close matchup. I mean, you couldn't have asked for, if you were Roger Goodell, if you were to handpick your Final Four, this might be the handpicked Final Four, straight up. And, you know, for me, this particular matchup, the margin for error is so small, and it goes both ways. If Kansas City shows up and plays like they did against Arizona in Week 16, the Kansas City Chiefs will lose. If Josh Allen shows up and he's the same quarterback that we saw in Week 6, he starts 3 of 11, and the Bills have, you know, 10 points at halftime, the Buffalo Bills will lose. The margin for error for both of these teams is razor thin. That's a compliment to both the Chiefs and the Bills. But to think about this from the Bills' perspective, thinking about the fact that if you play your game, if you resemble the team that everyone in this town, in this city, in Western New York has seen for the better part of a month and a half, the team that walked all over the number one scoring defense in football with a playoff berth on the line and hung 56 on them, if that team shows up, the Buffalo Bills will win. That's not satirical. It's not lip service. The Bills have a legitimate opportunity to win the AFC Championship game and represent the AFC in the Super Bowl with one win. That's where we are. And acknowledging that is a truly, truly fun. It's a remarkable, it's a very incredible thing to think about. And for all of you that are watching the national media one by one pick off the Buffalo Bills and say that the Kansas City Chiefs are too good, the Bills are really good. And you know what? If the Chiefs don't play well, the Bills are too good for them not to show up. The Bills are too good for the Kansas City Chiefs to look like the Chiefs team that we've seen almost all year. So while we respect what the opponent in this game, the reigning MVP, the reigning Super Bowl champion, respect is earned, and the Kansas City Chiefs have earned it. But I'm here today to tell you that with the level of confidence that I feel about this game, it stems from who the Bills are and who Kansas City has not been. And I think that's what gives me this sort of confidence that maybe the national media doesn't have. Maybe the national media looks at the Bills' offense against the Baltimore Ravens last week and they score 10 points against the Baltimore Ravens. And they don't think this Bills' offense is as good as advertised. And I just have to, I believe this. I believe if the, I don't believe that either way this game's a blowout in either direction. I think it's a very close game. But where I fall on the confidence scale and what makes me think this Bills team will ultimately have enough in this game to win is because I think the quarterback's been better this year than the quarterback in the other sidelines. I think Josh Allen has been better than Patrick Mahomes this year. And I recognize the torch that has just been lit. And that is the fiery of all hot takes. And if you told that to a Kansas City Chiefs fan, they'd probably laugh you in your face. But 11 of 12. 12 of 12 without a Hail Mary. A plus 134 point differential. And maybe point differential doesn't always matter. But it matters a little when you consider the context of who the Bills beat. In route to that plus 134. So a lot to get to, guys, but I wanted to open the show by placing importance on the things that are going to matter this week. And keeping and finding a way to slow down Patrick Mahomes is going to be really hard. But the defense that the Bills, that Bills fans saw last week can do it. And I want to hear from Eric Wood, who's coming up next on the Western Hotline, to talk a little bit more about this matchup, why he believes the Bills have an opportunity to beat the Kansas City Chiefs, and what he predicts will happen come Sunday at 6:40. So quick time out on the other side. Sports Talk Saturday continues on. Eric Wood joins the program next here on WGR.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Sports Talk Saturday here on WGR. Our extended coverage of the AFC Championship game getting underway this morning at 10 a.m. And a reminder, this special playoff edition of Sports Talk Saturday is brought to you by Tops Friendly Markets. Best game day deals in town by Taco Bell. Get your cravings under control with nacho fries at participating Taco Bell locations. And by Catalyst Fitness, activate your life. All Bills, all day, WGR Sports Radio 550. I'm going to the West Hur Hotline now because dialed up, I've got Eric Wood joining me here this morning. E-Wood, thank you so much for joining us, man. What an exciting day for Bills fans who I know are tuning in and are just looking for as much Bills content as possible today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, Nate. And I saw the lineup you got today. Am I batting lead up in all this?
You are. And that's a compliment to you, man.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm glad I don't have to live up to anyone else's hype.
Yeah, you know, it's a tough spot for Tyler Dunn, who's following up Baldy later. I mean, that's tough. That's just tough. There's a lot of O-line energy that I brought on the show today, though. And that's actually where I wanted to start with you, Eric, because, you know, I think a lot of times in these particular types of games, the quarterback, the wide receiver, the guys that are making, you know, the plays that everyone watches on SportsCenter, they're sort of the topic of conversation. But one of the things that I really wanted to get your thoughts on are both of these offensive lines, in particular in pass protection, I think are maybe one of the two best units in all the league. Talk a little bit about, you know, since John Feliciano's been brought back into this lineup, Eric, they just have... they've permeated a different feel, like a confidence that they didn't have earlier in the season when they were kind of moving in and out of the lineup.
Yeah, it's amazing what one guy can do from like almost an attitude standpoint. And John Feliciano is that guy for the Bills. He was last year as well. He's that tone setter. He's the guy that brings the attitude each and every game. And so there was a noticeable difference. It was good. It was interesting to me because a lot is always made of that, and everyone said, yeah, maybe this offensive line gets tougher or a little bit better when John gets back in the lineup, and you think, what can one guy do, especially since they didn't have any glaring holes in their offensive line before John came back. But he did truly make a difference in that first game back. They had him playing guard. He had to move over to center when Mitch left with the concussion, and John Feliciano is just a really high-quality player. And when you look at this offensive line, so many returning pieces from last year, but then when you had the injury to John Feliciano, you had Brian Winters in there. Darrell Williams stepped in at right tackle this year. He was the free agent brought in. But a lot of familiar faces, and I think as the season's gone on, and this is a Sean McDermott thing, it's that growth mindset, continually getting better. They've mixed and matched the lineup in different ways besides the two tackles. And what they have now is an offensive line that, A, had to compete for their job. Heck, it even seemed at one point Mitch Morse, one of the highest paid centers in the league, was competing for his job. But now you have guys that have, A, earned their spots and are playing at a really high level of ball. And I've been extremely impressed, and I'm sure you have as well, Nate, with Ike Butker at guard. You know, this is a guy, you know, they want Cody Ford to be a long-term answer for them at guard, potentially right tackle, but likely at guard. But, shoot, Ike Butker's come in, and he's been playing good ball himself.
You know, Eric, I've heard you explain sort of the different mentality and mindset between pass protection and run blocking. And if you're an offensive lineman, in particular with this team, and maybe that was one of your appearances with Chopin Bulldog that I was listening to, and it was sort of captivating to me because I don't ever think about it from the perspective of how the offensive linemen necessarily feel. But you know, thrust yourself into this offense. You know, how difficult can it be at times to be an offense, particularly this Bills offense, that doesn't run the ball with a ton of regularity?
So I'd never played in an offense true like this, obviously. When we had Chan Gailey, we threw the ball a lot, but Fitzpatrick got rid of the ball so fast that a lot of times it wasn't that hard of an assignment, even if they knew you're passing the ball. Well, the Bills run play action top five in the NFL. Their time to throw isn't one of the fewest in the NFL. So these are guys that have to hold up on every play. And the pass rushers know that they can get home if they rush hard enough and make a move because the ball's not coming out super fast. And you're passing the ball at one of the highest rates in the NFL. So I asked Deion Dawkins about this recently. I did an Instagram live with him and just had some fun with him. And I asked him about it. He said, bro, it's tough. You know, they know they could tee off on you the entire game, but when you rep it week after week and you get used to it, I mean, these are guys that are getting really good at pass protection. But as an offensive lineman, you know going into the game, the only way that you kind of leave the game looking like a fool would be with penalties or sacks. So the more pass plays, the more opportunities you have at giving up sacks. But Josh Allen, one, is extremely good at avoiding rush. They do some creative things in pass pro, too. Having their backs and tight ends maybe help out the guys at times. But they've done a phenomenal job.
We got Eric Wood here on the Wester Hotline. Eric, one of the things that I've really noticed and more frequency as of late is just how much Brian Daboll is relying on Josh Allen at the line of scrimmage to move in and out of plays. A lot of check with me's, a lot of you hear a lot of communication at the line of scrimmage with this Bills team. And last week, watching the Ravens basically have to just kill communication at the line of scrimmage based on the young center that they had and the crowd noise, based on what you know about, you know, how much this team relies on Allen to communicate the line of scrimmage, how much do you think 17,000 fans really might play in to this offense's desire to kind of play on the fly and try to react instead of try to be proactive instead of reactive at the line of scrimmage?
Matt, that's a really good question, Nate. And one of the best things about my timing of when I transitioned to the media out of my career is that I didn't play in Brian Daboll's offense. So I never feel like I'm never giving away the code here. You know what I mean? Because I've never sat in his meetings. This is all my observations from afar. And so you're exactly right about there's a lot more communication at the line of scrimmage from this Bills offense this year. It shows trust that Brian Daboll has in Josh Allen. And the beauty of this season, there's a lot of drawbacks of there not being fans in the stands most weeks, but we've got to hear that communication at home this year, which has been extremely interesting. And I'm a football nerd. I love the chess match. So I've loved hearing all of the conversation at the line of scrimmage. I don't think 17,000 fans are going to play that big of a role in it. You know, it could, and I could be proved wrong. But of that 17,000, I would bet maybe 3,000 are Bills fans. So now you have 14 cheering against you. You know, there may be certain situations, but you know, a lot of times that you're seeing all that communication from Josh Allen, heck, it might be 1st and 10. They're not that communication is not going to be affected on a random 1st and 10 in the first or second quarter. But it's amazing to me, Nate, what you can hear this year when they're sitting at the line of scrimmage and Josh checks the play and then he says, "No, no, check it, reload," and you're like, "Okay, they're going back to the original play." Well, prior to 2020, you don't get to hear that.
Yeah, I think that's been the, especially for football geeks like myself, when you get the opportunity to watch the All-22 and you get to hear the live calls and you get to hear Josh Allen on the line of scrimmage bring guys in. And I think that's been, I know a lot has been made of the zero blitz looks last year and in the beginning of this year that befuddled at times Josh Allen. And the one area I feel he's grown more in than just between the ears and his ability to diagnose coverage, it's his ability to make sure he's protected in order to be able to give himself a platform to deliver a ball. And I guess part of me wants to know from you just how difficult it is for a young quarterback when a lot of times and a lot of teams across the league are still still relying on their offensive linemen to handle a majority of that communication on protections up front. But when your quarterback this young can sort of take the reins, what does that mean from the mental processing of an offensive line when you can focus pre-snap more on your job rather than communicating to the rest of your team and the line, you know, what their responsibilities are in a given play?
Yeah, and to your point, with this being tough for a young quarterback, it's tough for a lot of quarterbacks to handle the protections as well. I always felt that it was better for the quarterback to handle it because then they know exactly where they're hot, as opposed to if we're on the road and I'm communicating to the offensive lineman up in front of me or maybe the running back as well, the quarterback doesn't even always know where he's protected. Now, he should know if he gets, you know, two rushers from his side, he's got to throw hot, he's got to get rid of it fast. But I always felt like it would be a lot better in an offense if the quarterback handled all that, just so he knew exactly where he's protected and he could dictate, hey, I want to attack this matchup in the secondary, so I want to protect myself to this side so that I can get this throw off. Well, if I'm the center and I'm handling the protection, I don't know which matchup he wants to go towards. And that's kind of like football 401. But the only quarterback that I played with that handled the protections was Kyle Orton. Oh, sorry, and Ryan Fitzpatrick. So Kyle Orton and Ryan Fitzpatrick, they generally would handle all the protections. Every other quarterback that I played with, which was a laundry list, I would handle all the protections. And that takes something off their plate. And I always actually liked doing it as well. It gave me more of a role. Makes you harder to get rid of when you're handling a lot of the stuff that's going on. But I enjoyed that role. But you could tell Josh is doing it this year. And, I mean, he brought up a great point. He's protecting himself. He's also the best quarterback in the NFL against the blitz when you look at passing yards and touchdowns. Now, he's been the most blitz quarterback in the league. Part of that comes from you play Miami twice. They blitz the second most in the NFL, and you play a number of other defenses that are in the top 10 blitz percentage. I'm not saying that teams are just attacking Josh Allen. Some of that's just the Bills' opponents this year. But if you flip it over to Kansas City as well, I believe Patrick Mahomes has a 120 quarterback rating against the blitz. So you got to be really careful blitzing both of these quarterbacks tomorrow. I think we might see some shell coverage on both ends of the spectrum tomorrow.
Eric Wood here, joining me on the Western Hotline, helping me break down some of the X's and O's going into Sunday's AFC Championship game against the Kansas City Chiefs. And one of the things, I'm really glad you sort of brought up the blitz in this particular matchup, because I think you have two. I mean, the coordinating matchup in this game between Brian Daboll, you've got Bieniemy, and then on the other side, Spagnuolo and Leslie Frazier. I mean, this is a heavyweight bout. And then, of course, the head coaches. This is a heavyweight coaching bout. And I wonder, you know, we saw Wink Martindale. This was really, I think, says a lot about where Josh Allen is and how he's thought of in the league. Is the one of the best defenses in football, the Baltimore Ravens, fundamentally, Eric, changed who they were and how they win. Like, they changed who they are and how they got to that point in the season by being a blitz-heavy, heavy-man team, and they changed themselves in order to react to the abilities and where Josh Allen thrives. I mean, I think that says a lot about where the quarterback is, but considering the coordinators in this matchup, I wonder if they won't be able to help themselves in this matchup, because these are two guys that you can't just let sit in the pocket and pick you apart.
I made the same points earlier in the week, Nate, for Don Wink Martindale to completely abandon what they do defensively in the divisional round of the playoffs on a quarterback in 2016 that you cover zero blitzed 16 times and destroyed him to the tune of six sacks, a fumble that you recovered, an interception, one touchdown, and 160 yards. What, the fact that you didn't even try that is amazing to me. And that, to your point, that is the ultimate sign of respect for where Josh is, this receiving core, and the offense, and Brian Daboll and everything. To your point about the coordinators not being able to help themselves, I mean, everything's on the line, obviously. You got a shot at the Super Bowl. I'm going to put on my social media here in a bit a play, and I'll tag you in it, Nate. Wait till you see. You didn't see someone leak out last week that they didn't hit this play. But did you see in the fourth quarter, they're up 17-3 on a pass play who they leaked out down the Bills sideline?
Was it Ty Nsekhe?
No, it was Deion Dawkins.
It's Deion Dawkins. Okay, I knew it was a tackle. I think I remember the play. They literally designed a shot for an offensive tackle.
Oh, I was like, so buddy of mine, Brian Brom, he's the offensive coordinator of Purdue. He was reviewing the tape and sent it to me, and I was like, oh, my God. That's one of those plays, like, up two scores, like, you might fight the other staff after the game. Like, but I brought that up because, like, Brian Daboll has a lot of tricks up his sleeve. And some of his tricks aren't, like, throwbacks to offensive tackle. Some of them are in reverse passes and whatnot. Some of them are really subtle. And to me, they're almost like trick plays. Like, man. Okay, so you had that play to Lee Smith in week 17. It's such a great play design. And I was like, why did they use that there? I can't wait. Something's coming off of that.
100%.
I don't know if it's tomorrow. I don't know if it's in the Super Bowl. I don't know if it's week one next year. But you didn't put that on tape in week 17 when you didn't need it against the Dolphins, not to have something coming back off of that.
You're so right. And one of the things, if you watch the Bills offense in depth on film week to week to week, and you could make a list of base plays you watched him run in week one. The guy holds receipts, Eric. Like, he doesn't, he waits around. He waits for the right scheme. He'll wait for the right point in the game, and he'll call it. And the thing about it is, he'll window dress it four different ways throughout the year. And that's what makes Brian Daboll's offense and the Eric Perkins system, right, and the principles of that system, and him being in that for so long, Eric, like, he's just able, in a lot of ways, to window dress. And what it reminds me of is Andy Reid.
Right. You're exactly right. It does. And that's a phenomenal point. I didn't come on here to plug my podcast, but my podcast, What's Next with Eric Wood, I had Luke Kuechly on. We released that one on Monday, and he talked about I asked him who the hardest team for him to prepare for was, and he said the Saints, because Sean Payton and Drew Brees would give you certain moments in the game. They would give you an exact look that you've already seen, just knowing your eyes were going somewhere, but they were setting you up. So he's like, it's a constant chess match of, like, can you trust your eyes in this moment? And when he was saying that, it reminded me of Brian Daboll this year and what he's been able to do with an accurate quarterback, with a guy that's developed like Josh Allen, with the weapons that he has at receiver. It reminded me a lot of Brian Daboll here.
Yeah, man. I'm running up against this break. I probably could talk with you for another hour about this, but
I know we could have hosted this one together this week. Honestly, this is a ton of fun for me.
Yeah, no doubt. We miss you, dude. I mean, COVID year sucks, man. It does.
I know. I miss seeing you every Sunday morning in the booth and for home games, and we'll do this again soon. But honestly, this was really enjoyable for me. I've done a lot of media hits this week around the country, and I don't get the deep dive quite like this. With many national media members. So this was a lot of fun.
Awesome, man. Well, I really appreciate it. We'll throw this up on the website very shortly. We really appreciate all the insight, man. Enjoy the games this weekend, and we'll be looking forward. Hey, I'm going to tell you what. We're running this back if they're playing next in 2 weeks. We're running this back.
Absolutely. Yep, absolutely. Mark it down.
Awesome, brother. Appreciate you. Enjoy the games, and have a great night.
Yep, sounds good. Go Bills.
Awesome, buddy. Eric Wood there joining us on Western Hotline. That was a phenomenal, phenomenal conversation. If you missed any of that, please, WGR550.com. Corey will have it up there up here shortly. All right, I got to take a timeout because I got to get two breaks in here in the next 10 minutes, and then we've got more guests coming your way here on WGR.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste because you know the bigger the fight, better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All All right, welcome back to Sports Talk Saturday. I got Michael Giardi of NFL Network. He's joining us next here on the Wester Hotline on Sports Talk Saturday, so stick around for that. Also a reminder and a quick note for my esteemed colleague, Corey Griswold. Corey Griswold, who just informed me that there appears on the Twitter bot to be some stories of some fans heading down to Kansas City for the game, but purchasing crappy tickets.
Be aware, always in these situations of high-demand sporting events or other kind of events, that you may be exposed to scammers trying to get your cash money, especially because it's been like a year since you've tried to do it. You kind of get a little rusty at the ticket-buying game. Please be conscious that when you're buying a ticket for either this game or the next, that you're getting it from a reputable source.
Right.
Do some critical thinking skills, folks.
That's right. Don't let the moment get the better of you. All right, quick timeout. Michael Giardi coming up next here on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.